All right, you got the United States there, and so you just come across the ocean. You've got Africa, and you come up. I'm really not wasting time trying to do that. I don't know if everybody understands that, if everybody knows their geography. Kids, you need to learn these kind of things. It's very important. So we've gone across the ocean, and now we find ourselves, this, of course, the big continent of Africa. Right here, and now we're gonna. So you've got the Mediterranean Sea. I'm gonna have to talk it here. You got the Mediterranean Sea, and Israel is right in here. Okay, so we come a little closer and focus in on Israel. All right, so Israel. Kind of where we're at this morning, Mount Hermon, up in this area. We've got the area and region of Galilee. So when Jesus passed through Galilee, he was going to go through here. And we have the region, Galilee probably comes in this area, comes down here. And then this area would be Samaria. And then, of course, Judea or Judah down in this area. All right, so just a little perspective. So this morning, just since we were there this morning, when we're talking about Jesus, I bet I can't lean on that too hard. When we're talking about Jesus coming down, Jesus was up here with his disciples. He came through the midst of Galilee, and then somehow he went through Samaria. He ends up right here. When you see this lowest dark spot on your map, that is Jericho, okay? It's good to get to learn things so you can just spot it, you know, on your maps. I work to do that, actually. I work to zoom in and out so that I can see it and identify it right away, and I think it'd be good for you to do that as well. So when we're looking right down here, just go just right north of the Dead Sea, and you've got the Jordan River Valley here. And right here, when you look and you see that dark spot right there, you know that you're right in the area of Jericho, okay? So there's Jericho. Jesus went to Jericho all right before, and he meets Zacchaeus and some other ones there in Jericho, and then he's going to come from Jericho, and he's going to make his way to Jerusalem. All right, now what's the easiest way on your map from this distance to identify Jerusalem? The dark mountains of Jerusalem, okay? So the darkest spot, if I can say it that way, in Israel, are the mountains of Jerusalem, okay? Now, when you look at Jerusalem, when you see the dark spot, automatically go a little bit to the east to know where the city of Jerusalem is, okay? So these are the mountains of Jerusalem, but honestly, it's right next to it. Let me zoom up just a little bit more for you. So the dark spot, but when you're looking at the city of Jerusalem, it's going to be right here, right at the edge of it. You can see, I'm colorblind, but it looks to me like a little bit more gray in this area. Am I right? My wife is looking at me like, how'd you do that? I don't know. Okay, so it looks a little bit more gray right in here. So take the mountains and then just go right to the gray spot. And that's what you're seeing, the gray is the stones of the buildings there, because it's just stone buildings. And so that's what you're seeing with the gray. Okay, and so that's where we're going to focus in on when we come to Jerusalem. Now, what we're going to do tonight is I'm just going to give you a few tips on Jerusalem, and then we're going to get right into our reading, and then I have in my Bible marked out where a transition is for where they go. And of course, it's not hard to identify, and then we'll look up really quick and say, okay, so he was just here and he went here, then we'll get to reading again, and we're just going to trace it a little bit that way tonight. Okay, so we're here, and I was going to give you another little tip. When you are looking at Jerusalem, so you take the dark spot and then you look at the gray. When you want to look at the old city of Jerusalem in the time of Jesus and you want to find the Temple Mount very quickly, what you're going to do is you're going to actually get to the right side or the eastern side of the gray. Okay? because Jerusalem, the Temple Mount is just on the edge of all the civilization. As soon as you leave the Temple Mount to the right, you have the Kidron Valley, and all of a sudden it becomes much less city, less buildings, okay? So you're going to look, and of course you get to the edge of the mountain, and then you're going to get to the gray, and this is the old city, and then you're going to try to find the edge of the gray, where it now turns it's going to start turning to a little bit more wilderness that way. And so that's what you're looking for with that. So what we're going to do now is we're going to get in just a little bit closer, and so we can see. I want to outline for you the old city again. I know I've done it many times. When you're looking at and you're trying to find the Temple Mount, again, I just mentioned the edge of the gray. You can kind of see a line here of the gray. If you zoom out a little bit and you see the edge of the gray right in here, you know when you draw your line, you're probably going to come right through the center of the old city, Jerusalem, which is right here at the Temple Mount, is right there. All right. You fixed in on that? Again, I know it's hard for you to from way back there to look at this. I wish I had some one-on-one sessions to sit down with maps with you and go through. I love this stuff, by the way. All right, so let's come in. So now, Jerusalem, the city walls. Follow my laser. You got the outline?
Yes.
Now, old city walls, there were lots of different old city walls, so you can look at different ones. You have to study that out. You've got this old wall that was changed and this, but for what it's worth, most simplistic right now, the way things are, that's what we're looking at, okay? All right. I'm trying to think of anything more to say. Of course, this is the Kidron Valley, which Jesus crossed this. It came over here so many times. And this is the Mount of Olives. And then, of course, where Jesus prayed in Gethsemane is right in here. Okay, so let's go ahead, and we're going to start at John chapter 18. So go ahead and look at your Bibles, John chapter 18. Where are we leaving, and where are we going? Now, let's look at John chapter 18 and verse 1. When Jesus had spoken these words, Dan, is it hot in here? I'm ultra hot. Can you switch the, so I don't have to worry about that. Thank you. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where was a garden into which he entered and his disciples. Now, we're not going to spend the whole time. I'm going to do a lot of reading tonight. I'm not going to just do map tonight. But just to get started, where was the upper room? That's where we come from. And then we get to verse 18, and he goes and crosses Kidron to the garden. Okay? And so, approximately, we're looking at an area right of the Teropian Valley that comes up just like this. So we got a valley that kind of, you can't see it very good on this map, and then the Kidron Valley, Teropian Valley, and right on the other side of the Teropian Valley, somewhere right in here, we're going to have the upper room. And then, of course, we'll get to Caiaphas's house there in just a little bit. So he's going to start here, and he's going to come down. I don't know if he went this way or if he just went this way, but he's going to end up over here right now. So in 18:1, this is where he's come from here to here. Okay? Let's pick up our reading there, and then we'll get back to the map. Starting in verse 1 again, when Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the brook and here, of course, Kidron, where was a garden unto the which he entered and his disciples. And Judas also, which betrayed him, knew the place, for Jesus oft times resorted thither with his disciples. Judas then, having received a band of men and officers
from the chief priests and Pharisees cometh thither with lanterns and torches and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that should come upon him, went forth and said unto them, Whom seek ye? They answered him, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus saith unto them, I am he. And Judas also, which betrayed him, stood with them. As soon then as he said unto them, I am he, they went backward and fell to the ground. Then asked he them again, Whom seek ye? And they said, Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus answered, I have told you that I am he. If therefore ye seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled which he spake, Of them which thou gavest me have I lost none. Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and smote the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Then said Jesus unto Peter, Put up thy sword unto the sheath. The cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink it? Then the band of the captains and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. All right, so we have a change here. Now I'm going to transition for that. I can think, hopefully that you can see it just a little bit better. That is a map that's not a live map, okay? I don't know if you can see that. Does that look like the outline that I kind of just gave you there with the shape? All right, so where are we at? We were at Gethsemane, and now we just read that he went to Annas, which was father-in-law to Caiaphas. Now, many believe that Annas and Caiaphas, some put it in a different spot, some believe it was the same spot. A lot of times, the people in families, and especially these leadership families, they would live in a huge place, and it was in the same place. And so, whether that's true or not, I'm not 100% sure. Some people put Caiaphas's house in different spots as well. In fact, the place that we went would differ from even this map that Logos puts out. But anyway, here, as you look at this, you would see that the upper room was right here, and the high priest's house was right here. Where we visited, it seems a little bit more like somewhere right in here, and it seems like there's evidence for that. But again, one of the things that is really unique that as I've been studying Israel and the locations and everything, and I think that the Lord did it on purpose like this, is it's hard to pinpoint a lot of the places, and I think it's because we don't end up worshiping spots rather than what Jesus did. And so, yes, we love to find out. I want to know exactly where everything was, and I do. But I think that there's a lot of question just purely for the fact that we don't worship. And there's a couple spots that are worshiped there, and we don't want to do that. But I'm just giving you the best of my knowledge that I have, and so there's different discrepancies. We do know that it was in this area. We visited a place, and it seems a little bit more, I don't know if things are turning, whatever, but it seems a little bit more right in this area. But this is also just a drawing as well. So. He's just got from Gethsemane, now the high priest's house, okay? Annas, Caiaphas, and so here we are. Let's pick it back up in verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple. That disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, Art not thou also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servant and officer stood there, who had made a fire of coals, for it was cold, and they warmed themselves, and Peter stood with them and warmed himself. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world, I ever taught in the synagogue, and in the temple whither the Jews always resort, and in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me. What I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, "Answerest thou the high priest so?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil. But if well, why smitest thou me?" Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. And Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. They said therefore unto him, "Art not thou also one of his disciples?" And he denied it and said, "I am not." One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, saith, "Did not I see thee in the garden with him?" But Peter then denied again, and immediately the cock crew. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but they that might eat the Passover. All right, and then verse 29, we have Pilate. So here's another transition, okay? Back up here again. We are here in this area of Caiaphas, the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. Now they lead Jesus up the Tyropian Valley, up along the temple, what is known, you know, now the Western Wall area is right there, up this and into this area, which is called the Antonia Fortress, and in just a little while, it's going to be called, there's the pavement, the judgment hall, he's going to go, and there's going to be, right now, there's going to be some back and forth, in and out, and in and out, in front of Pilate, and then with the people, and in front of Pilate, and then with the people. So there's going to be plenty of this going back and forth. Now I will say, in John's perspective, his perspective leaves out going to Herod, okay? Which Herod's fortress is over here, okay? This is the Jaffa Gate where we, as a group, we came in here. We came in the Jaffa Gate as we went to the Western Wall. Right here is Herod's fortress, and this is where Jesus would have been before Pilate. Pilate turns him over to Herod. He's going to come over here and kind of a mock puppet trial, and then he's going to end up going back over to Pilate. We don't read that in John's account, and so I'm just telling you that's going to happen even though we're not going to get to it. So right now, in the next many verses, this is the place where Jesus is being mocked, tried, beat, several things. All right? So the Hall of Judgment, that's where this is called, okay? Where you see that Antonia Fortress there with the four corners there. All right, so let's jump right back into verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death, that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled which he spake, signifying what death he should die." Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again, and called Jesus, and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, saying, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the Jew and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews, and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all." But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews? Then cried they all again, saying, Not this man, but Barabbas. Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe, and said, Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and saith unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law we ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. And from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him. But the Jews cried out, saying, If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place that is called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Now I'm going to stop right there and just say we're not really going to a new location in Jerusalem, but it was a place that was just right there, right around us. So we have Pilate going in and out, speaking to Jesus, then going back out and facing the crowd, and then going back in and speaking with Jesus, going back out facing the crowd, and going in this last time speaking with Jesus, and then going out to the crowd. He said, "Okay." And then they go to this place called the pavement. And I showed you some of those pictures that we have that are underneath Antonia Fortress, that would be the old Roman cities where this is taking place now. So I don't know if you can remember some of those pictures, but you might see them again as we go through Jerusalem. But I'm not going to show you those tonight, but we just look at those old Roman city streets that are there. And that down at that level was what they call the pavement. And this is where these Roman soldiers had their heyday with Jesus, okay? And so that's where we find ourselves now in this pavement or Gabbatha in verse 13. All right, verse 14. And it was the preparation of the Passover in about the sixth hour, and he saith unto the Jews, Behold your king! And they cried out, Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him! Pilate saith unto them, Shall I crucify your king? The chief priests answered, We have no king but Caesar. And then delivered he him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha. All right, so there's another transition. And I would submit to you that this is another debated issue of where Jesus was crucified and then put in the tomb. The traditional site is right... right in here, okay? So here on this map, you'll see Golgotha, the traditional location in the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. And again, that is a tradition, and that's where we have the Church of the Holy Sepulchre that is there, and many groups take their people there. There's a lot of people that believe that's the site there, and they've got different things that they believe with that. And so, again, I think Jesus
You know, we don't exactly know. Is there reason to believe there? Well, there's plenty of things. Is there reason to believe another place? Well, there are. And so I don't know. I will never be able to say that I know for sure. But we know one thing, that he was led to Golgotha. Where did our group go, and where do I lean that it is? Well, I would lean that it is up here. So what we did was we left this area right in here. And that was the Antonia Fortress, and we went right here to a road that follows the Tyropian Valley, straight up this way, that led to the Damascus Gate, or the Fish Gate that is listed here. We went right here. So many people would call this the Via Dolorosa, which would be here and then up here. And of course, those that believe the traditional site is the place, and they would call this the Dolorosa, and they would come here and go over here. But either way, we've got this place, or we have right up here, just right outside the city, and right up kind of in this area, not on this map, then would be the place where we went, and then the garden tomb that is up there. And so that is now where we are entering the story, and from just my thoughts. So now we're up here. So Jesus has just been led away up the Tyropian Valley and to the place called Golgotha, okay, which it would, a place that looks like, I showed you the pictures, it looks like a skull that was there. Of course, deterioration has happened, so you can't see it as good, but that's where we're at now as we enter verse 18. Where they crucified him, Golgotha, where they crucified him, two other with him, and on either side one, and Jesus in the midst. And Pilate wrote a title and put it on the cross, and the writing was, Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. This title then read many of the Jews, for the place where Jesus was crucified was nigh to the city, and it was written in Hebrew and Greek and Latin. Then said the chief priests of the Jews to Pilate, write not the King of the Jews, but that he said, I am King of the Jews. Pilate answered, what I have written, I have written. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garment and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. They said therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it. Whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which saith, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldier did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus' mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. Then when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour that disciple took her unto his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar, and put it upon hyssop, and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was on high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and the other was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true, and he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled, a bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced.
And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus. And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night, and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pound weight. Then took they the body of Jesus, and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulchre, wherein was never man yet laid. There laid they Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. As far as the map goes, we have nowhere else to go because it was right there. It honestly was within less than, I don't even know if it was 50 yards from the place where Jesus was crucified. And then just you go right around the corner of the hill is there. And there in the stone was this sepulcher that was there. So there's no place, more place to go with the map. Just understand that it was right there. We're talking about a very short distance. I never had an understanding of that. And even the traditional site that I pointed out, the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea, just right there. And so either way, it was not like some taking the body to some long distant mountain somewhere else. It was right there, okay? And so Joseph takes him there. Let's pick up in chapter 20. The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre. And then she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and saith unto them, They have taken away the Lord out of the sepulchre, and we know not where they have laid him. Peter therefore went forth, and that other disciple, and came to the sepulchre. So they ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the sepulchre. And he, stooping down and looked in, saw the linen clothes laying, yet went he not in. Then cometh Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeth the linen clothes lie, and the napkin that was about his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but wrapped together in a place by itself. Then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again into their own home. But Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, and as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger in the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. After 8 days, again, the disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed. Many other signs, truly, to Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. And we're going to stop there with the reading. Praise the Lord for the belief that even John, did you catch the John always never refers to himself. He said that disciple. But that's John. He's talking there. And praise the Lord, he believed. Thomas, boy, he had to be proven. And of course, the Lord says, blessed are those people that will believe without the signs, that you would just believe in face value. Anyway, I trust that passage has been a blessing to you as we remember what Jesus Christ has done for us. Folks, he did all of that traveling that we just looked at the map. He did all of that. He did it because he loves you. He did it because he cares for you. He did it because he doesn't want you to go to hell. He did it because he doesn't want you to be lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. He did it because he wants you to live victorious today and tomorrow. He wants you to live in victory over those troubling sins that you go through. He did it so that you can hope and have peace in him. He did it so that you can walk with him and trust him until the day that he returns for us to, and as we're caught up with him in the clouds. He did it for you. Let's take the time today, tonight, to remember and to be, like we learned this morning, thankful. Are you thankful for what Jesus